Hello and welcome. This is D. Garrett Nadeau presenting one of a number of podcasts on behalf of the Lancashire Authors Association. Today we are in Accrington Library, so any echo should give the interview the depth and solemnity it deserves. My special guest is Brian Foster. Welcome, Brian.
Hello.
Brian is the librarian with Lancashire Authors Association, and he knows quite a bit about it, so perhaps he can tell us about what it is and a little bit about its history.
Yes. The Lancashire Authors Association started in 1909. A Lancashire author called Samuel Hill, who came from Staley Bridge, suggested to the curator of Rochdale Art Gallery that they hold a bicentenary celebration in memory of Tim Bobbin. Tim Bobbin was the first Lancashire dialect writer to publish. They met and they went to see Tim Bobbin's grave, which is in St. Chad's Churchyard, and also have a look at the dialect writer's memorial, which is there next to the grave. And then they went for a meal to Woodall's restaurant.
Wow, that's really interesting, Brian. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit more about it, because it's quite an interesting story.
Yes, at the meeting, or the restaurant, Teddy Ashton suggested that they meet every year like this, and it was agreed that that would be a good idea. And so in November of 1909, they had another meeting where R.H. Brodie, known as Billy Button, and Teddy Ashton, who was really called Charles Allen Clark, christened and launched the LAA. When it started, there was about 20 members only, but within 5 years, it had risen to 200.
Wow. So Lancashire Authors has been going quite a long time, and they have a section here in the library, but I think Brian's going to tell us a little more about Lancashire Authors and what they've done in the past and what they're doing now.
Yes. We have a room in Accrington Library here. We've got over 2,000 books. And we also have every copy of the magazine which the LAA started in 1911. It was called The Record. And I have here on the desk the first copy that was ever printed. It was May 1911. And it gives the objects of the association. I'll just read what it said. It was to popularise and foster Lancashire literature by getting the works of Lancashire authors into public libraries. We also started in 1917 a handwritten circulating magazine, and the first one contained about 77 pages, and it was passed from hand to hand, and it was all handwritten. The only cost for the members was the postage. And then it changed to the Red Rose magazine in 1918, and that ran until 1992.
Wow, that's really interesting. We're here in the library, and I think you said there are 2,000 volumes here in this room. And when I look around, they all look like really old. You know how old books look with all the tattered bindings and everything, and I can see some of the dates like 1942 and 1938, etc. What are all these things? It looks like there's copies of newspapers and other maps and things.
Yes, those actually belong to Accrington Library.
Oh, those are Accrington Library things. Okay.
This shelf over here, they're all the Lancashire
Right,
office,
okay.
And the cupboard. Now, the oldest book we've got, I think, is about 1763.
Wow.
Which is Thomas and Mary, which was written by Tom Bobbin.
Okay.
It's very difficult to read. I'll show you the book. There it is. It's very difficult to read now. You really won't understand it. I'll just read you the first few lines. Tim speak. Good Lord, just days. What worth are times are these? Pot bars are scant, and here is sale and cheese. Hey, Goatham guys, a silly shape done wrong, or its public trust is joining to a job. Lace, taxes, customs, main half blocks to throat. Yet I'm war thruts between two arrant rogues. For bigger scoundrels never trade a pair of brogues.
I don't.
We have other writers with quite a lot by Edwin Waugh, who was known as the Burns of Lancashire. He came from Rochdale. We've got William Barron and Ben Brierley. A lot of books by Ben Brierley.
Who has access to all of these books? I mean, can anybody come in and read them, or can they take them out, or what?
No, all members of the Lancashire Authors can come in and have a look at them. We do get academics coming to study if they're researching on a particular subject. We had a lady from the University of California who came the other week, and she was researching the books on Margaret Rebecca Leahy, who was a Rochdale writer. She was actually Irish, but she learned to speak Lancashire dialect and to write in Lancashire dialect, and she's on the Lancashire Dialect Writers Memorial in Rochdale. She was not working class like many of the Lancashire dialect writers were. Although the LAA itself tended to be, I think, more middle class, because there was a lot of mayors, JPs, MPs who were members. Mostly, I think, the Lancashire dialect writers were workers in the mill.
For those of us who don't understand Lancashire dialect, is there anybody, does any translations or anything, does it, you know, when you go to a meeting, can anybody explain to you what's being said, or?
Well, we do have Lancashire dictionaries.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
All right. Okay.
We have one called Sounds Gravely, and this was printed by the Northwest Sound Archives in Clitheroe.
Oh, yeah.
And it gives all Lancashire words, such as sneck, which is a door latch.
Oh, right, okay. I thought that was a beer. I've had sneck lifter, I think. It's a beer.
Snicket, which is a narrow passageway. It's quite comprehensive, but. And then there was other Lancashire dialect dictionaries from an early time. Charles Allen Clark said he thought the best one was by Francis Taylor. And we have a copy of it in the library.
Is there a movement on at the moment to try to preserve the Lancashire dialect? Is that part of what Lancashire Authors is about? Is it trying to keep it from disappearing, do you think?
One of the objects of the Lancashire Authors is to do that.
Yeah, I think it's worth preserving. And a way of life. I mean, is that part of it as well? I mean, there must, along with the dialect, must be the subjects of the poetry and of the stories that were told to preserve. For those who don't know much about Lancashire, what kind of work did people do? What was life like back in the early 1900s and through the 1920s and 30s? Was it mostly mills and?
Yes, it was mostly mills. People worked in the mill long hours. It was hard work.
And children, I suppose, were
children worked from being 7 year old, worked in the mill.
Really Dickensian kind of a life,
perhaps,
carrying on right through the 90s. Do you know anything about sort of when that began to fade? When the mills ran into trouble? Because there aren't many mills around now, are there?
No.
So the cotton mill, cotton industry, and all of that.
There is a Queen Street Mill in Burnley, which. It's like a museum, and you can go in and you can see how the looms work.
Yeah, yeah.
I lived quite near to that.
Yeah.
As a child, I lived with my grandparents, and we lived quite near that. But that was then a working mill, and there was mills all the way up the road.
My impression, though, of Lancashire is that, like lots of England, there are pockets of accents all over Lancashire. So. For example, I guess the Lancaster accent would be different from the Accrington Lancaster accent, etc. So, how would you preserve? Would the attempt be to preserve a particular dialect from a particular area of Lancashire, or is there a particular Lancashire dialect that is unique to the whole of Lancashire?
No. I think there are over 20 different Lancashire accents.
Wow.
Three in Rossendale alone.
Can people understand each other?
Oh, yes.
When they talk to each other?
Yes, even though they're from different parts of Lancashire.
From town to town.
They can still understand each other.
Yeah, it sounds a little confusing.
Rochdale, for instance, is completely different from Burnley. East Lancashire accent.
Yeah.
They would say in Rochdale, they say car park. But in Accrington and Burnley and Blackburn, they say car park. motor car.
Yeah.
And it's completely different accent.
Right, well, I think it's time for a little bit of music, and Brian has brought along some music for us to hear, so a selection of his choices. We'll start, I think, with Mozart's Clarinet Concerto Adagio. That was Mozart's Clarinet Concerto Adagio. Brian, I think we were talking about the mills in Lancashire, and I think you've got a little bit more about sort of people who wrote about the mills, and a little bit more to tell us about that.
Yes. I think a good insight into this would be to read, a poem by Joseph Burgess. I did some work on Joseph Burgess, and he lived quite near me in Middleton. And he wrote these when he was very young. He got married when he was very young, but within 2 months, his wife died, consumption. And he never wrote. After his wife died, he found it very difficult to write. But he became a journalist, and then he went into politics. And he got together all the MPs, Labour, and he was the man who form the Independent Labour Party. I'll read you the poem, because this gives you good insight into the mills of the day, the work that they did. Called 10 Hours a Day. It is in Danglet, of course. As I were hurrying home in dark, one morning to begin me work, just turning corner of a street, a factory lass I chanced to meet, carrying a babby in her arm, lapped in a shawl to keep it warm, which to a nurse who had to take, so we met way 10 hours a day. To addle her dear babby's bread, who'd taken it gently out of bed, and done her best to get it dressed, about breaking its unconscious rest. For I could hear its wailing cry, and her deep groan, as who passed by, to think you couldn't wee it stay, but had to wait 10 hours a day. Brave heart, I thought, thou bears thee fate better than many a one called great. Thou doesna grumble half as much as lots of ladies that are rich. Through wind and rain, through sleet and snow, thou bears that babby to and fro, and from thee wages has to pay to have it much 10 hours a day. Content when stopping time did come, if who could take a babby warm, in wind and rain, in snow and sleet, I met that mother every night. I noticed, as her shawl grew shabby, who lapped it closer round her body, while her pale lips appeared to pray for strength to work 10 hours a day. But soon the subject of me talk were absent from me morning's walk, nor could I hear her heavy feet returning from her work at night. And so I settled in me mind, as who'd left factory work behind, no more to swallow china clay or shoddy dust 10 hours a day. Yet hardly had a month gone by when I met her upon the road again. I met her as I did afore, but who no babby we a bore. He slept beside the churchyard tree, where her consumptive husband lay. Oh, what a price he had to pay through working hard 10 hours a day.
Sounds like a hard life. I think they had a hard time of it. But that was I think I understood that one a little bit more. I did understand what was going on there, and certainly, it's tough. Tough way to live, tough way to get through things. I think, Brian, you've got another one that you'd like to read for us?
Yes, this is another one by the same author, Joseph Burgess, called "There's Note Like Spinning Shoddy." Shoddy, 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 that's the sort to spin. There's note like spinning shoddy if you want to make your tin. Never mind how hard you work and your hands for little wage. There's no like spinning shoddy in this speculating age. But I would like to see those that buy and sell such stuff start a spinning it themselves, for they'd soon have had enough. And no one be half as ready at giving us their jaw, deny they like the Egyptians when they fund their slaves no straw. Top clear of laps and rovings, under clear of waste and fly, make a very harmless mixing, if they nobbut let and lie. But when they scutched and carded a purpose to be spun, it's us poor shoddy pieces as leet in it for fun. Thens dropping down like snowflakes, whiz upon the spindle paint, and we run about and piece until we cramped in every joint. Till if we'd but a minute to do it as we'd like, if it weren't for being laughed at, we should sit as Dane and scribe. I'm a shoddy piecer at singing you this song, but though I'm one at present, I don't intend belong. For here I'll stop at piecing. I'll tell you gravely straight. I'll start a-selling idle back and shouting wait for wait. for what with speed and o'ertime, and what with dust and dirt, walking barefoot and floor, in breeches and your shirt, festling every blessed mealtime, 4 and 5 days in a week. If you say that's no slavery, you're a tidy lot of cheek. And if I'm here so lucky as to have a little lad to come and eat and meet me, take me hand and call me dad, afore his piece on shoddy and stew it mill all day, I'll ask the gentle shepherd to take his lamb away. For e'er be made a piece to know what I have known, if God'll no but take him, I think at mercy's shown. For life's a dear bargain, when the price you want to pay is piecing upon shoddy for a bob or two a day. I've seen when I've been whacking at 5 o'clock in dark, on bitter frosty mornings, and packed off to me work, and if e'er the engine started, I had no oil me tops, me mind would have cussed me, and clouted me in shop. And what we engine chatting about 10 minutes then, and running o'er at breakfast time at least another 10, with 7 or 8 at 6 o'clock, and full 15 at noon, it were very, very seldom as I get there too soon. And when the room's been so hot I could hardly get me wind, and spinning's been so bad, at half pace till welly blind, if I'd happen let me ends down, I made a nick or two, me minder had a punched me till I were black and blue. And e'er a child of mine, I had striven all it could, to add that maister's profit, by knocking bad or good, should be treated like a slave, in freedom's native isle, I could lay it in its grave, and feel relief enough to smile. Why, a factory's like a prison, you can neither see nor hear. When you're getting once inside it, out at passing, out at door, for they're filled with frosted windows and built inside the yard, with a wall you cannot get o'er, and a door at solace barred. So I'm bain to save me oddy, and when I get upgrown, I can bid goodbye to shoddy, and to work about me soon. And hoping you hear me, I think I'm doing right, and clap me loud and heartily, I'll wish you all good night.
Wow, that's an interesting poem. Again, remind us who that was written by.
Yeah, that was written by Joseph Burgess. Wow. He was born in Failsworth in 1853.
Right, so the poem was written in sort of late 19th century.
Yes,
sort of
1800s. Yeah.
And I guess now is a good time for a little bit more music. So another choice of Brian's, Rachmaninoff's Piano Concerto No. 2, the second movement. Interesting, Brian. Good stuff. I think you've got some other writers from those that earlier period to read about, Sam Fitton in particular, and another poem that you can read for us.
Yes,
you
I
want
can.
To introduce Sam and tell
yeah,
us a little
Sam
bit.
Sam Fitton was a founder member of the LAA in 1909. He was a very, very talented man. He was a marvellous artist, a mimic, an entertainer, and a poet. And his best poem was probably Me Outcase Clock. He was a friend of Ammon Wrigley, who was another dialect writer. And they, after his wife, Sam Fitton's wife died. And afterwards he wasn't very well. And he went to Sam. And they started going bits of walks together on the moors. Because Ammon Wrigley thought that that would bring life back to him. And they went into a pub called the Tiger Inn. It's not there now, it's demolished. And they said they would both write a poem that night and bring it the next day and see what the other thought of it. And this was Sam's poem. He called it Me Outcase Clock. We all han cherished things, no days. We some air, feel we can't debate. Some furniture, we value, aye. With things that money couldn't obey. I have an outcase clock of one. I wouldn't have sell for any sum. It stood at corner, so I'm told. When first I come to live in Foud, it stands there yet. And neat and day, it measures time and ticks away. Tick, tock, tick, tock. Its cheery dial seems to say, let's laugh to while the time away. And though it hasn't changed its chime, it's seen some changes in its time. It's gazed on all our air-soul crew. It's watched them come. It's watched them go. When little Jack were taken one day, it watched aside his things away, and when her tears began to flow, it said, cheer up, time heals, I know. Tick-tock, tick-tock. It's like a sentinel in't new, thou lad can read me like a book, and when I've had an extra glass, it seems to know, it does a bit mass. That clock's both human and divine. One night I get a bit o'er at line. It chuckled as it winked one ee. But had a drop too much, I see. It hiccups. Well, that a foo. The beggar seemed to wobble too. Tick-tock, tick-tock. When little Bill were born, thou'd clock seemed fain to add one more to flock. But while it smiled, it little knew his mother wouldn't live it through. It watched us lay her in a shroud, and somehow didn't tick so loud. It seemed to say, there's trouble here. They lost the mainspring too, I fear. I loud me noise till trouble's o'er. But nay, it ticks on as before. Tick-tock. It's seen some marlocks in its time. When I were young and in me prime, it watched me courting air now. It seed us kiss, but winna tell. It seed me smile on wedding morn and swell with pride when first were born. It seen all children in their pomp. It watched them laugh and sing and romp. And when I've joined them in the play, it said, I'm fain, I'm weak today. Tick-tock, tick-tock. Alas, there come a time when trade were bad, and I felt much afraid. I'd have to sell me dear old clock to pay for corn to feed me flock. I felt distracted, things grew worse, and when a chap's an empty purse, and half a dozen mares to feed. If he's a heart, it's bound to bleed. A south-south couch to be on bread, and south case clock loose on and said, tick-tock, tick-tock. I asked south clock, what mun I do? I well think the latter go. I'm loath to part with the young lad, but childer starve, and times are bad. Say, mun I sell thee to our friend? I dost think at times will mend. I know that worth a pound or two. So mun we part? Come, tell me through. I well he thought it shook its head. It seemed to frown, and me, and said, tick, tock, tick, tock. I didn't sell South Clock at all. The times improved. It seemed to know. It's like a dog for work or play. It knows just every word I say. When times are good, it loops the glad. Its dial drops when times are bad. Then, like a sage, it ticks and sings, reminding me at time has wings. And when I've gone to God knows where, thou'd clock, I'll still be ticking there. Tick, tock, tick, tock.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well read, Brian. That's really interesting, and that's quite a bit of what Lancashire Authors was all about in the past, back in the early days when it first started. But I'd like to talk a little bit about what it is now, and for example, like who can join. It does sound like there's strong emphasis, obviously enough, on Lancashire, and it's obviously for people who can write Lancashire dialect and for people who like to hear Lancashire dialect and hear more about Lancashire. But is it just limited to people who are from Lancashire or who want to write Lancashire dialect?
No, anybody can join.
So you've got quite a few different members from different places.
Yes, we do. We've had very famous men. We had Gracie Fields.
Wow.
And Robert Bridges, the poet laureate.
Yeah, yeah. What about the cost of joining now? Is it...
It's about £15
for a subscription
for a year, yes.
Yeah. Tea and biscuits at the meeting.
Tea and biscuits, yes. Oh, yes. We don't have a meal. At first, they used to have a proper tea.
Right.
But we stopped doing that quite some time ago.
Yeah. And then, of course, they got a copy of the record. I've got the June copy of the record here. And there are competitions.
Yes.
That people can enter. I've got a list here. It's the Batty Cup, the Scholes Cup, the Brown Cup, the Pomfret Cup, the Mercer Cup, the Douglas Townsend Cup, and the Brian Mitchell Cup, all on different sort of aspects to writing, sort of short stories and Lancashire themes and writing for children. So it's quite a good... And there are prizes, I guess, the money that goes towards giving cups for people to win those. That sounds really good.
Yes. Lancashire dialect writing in poems and prose. And also we have standard English in both.
Okay.
Well,
so when does it meet? Four times a year, I think.
Four times a year, yes.
Yeah, okay.
We only meet at Chorley and Lytham at the moment because of decreasing numbers. We haven't got anything like
that. So most of the members are from that area at the moment. But it would be good, to extend it to other people in Lancashire. I'm American and I get confused about things. Is Manchester part of Lancashire? Is it?
Yes, it's greater Manchester. It's really not now, but it used to be.
Right. You're from Middleton. Liverpool. Middleton is like on the edge of Manchester, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
So is Middleton part of Lancashire where you're from?
Yes.
It is Lancashire. So
It's people in Middleton used to speak in Lancashire dialect.
Right. Okay.
But Manchester people don't speak in
Lancashire. Have you always lived there? Always lived in Middleton?
I was born in Manchester.
Right.
But I went to live with my grandparents in Burnley. When I was about five.
And did you learn your Lancashire dialect from them? I mean, obviously you read it really well. You obviously are familiar with it. Is that, you learned it from your grandparents then, would you say?
Yes. And they spoke very broad. They still said thee and thou and used such words as girt and laking.
Yeah. What do they mean? What's girt and laking mean?
Girt means braid, laking means playing.
All right. Okay.
They'd sort of say that the more late we him because he's a bad un. Meaning you mustn't play with him.
Yeah. Oh, you shouldn't play with him. Okay. Yeah. I wouldn't have understood that at all.
Yeah. They use words like shap. They also use words like shap, mean shape. They say, you know, they must shape themselves because they're late. Wick, meaning well. If you said it wick today, you were well, you were fine. Right. Fratch.
I'm wondering if they used any English words at all. I would
recognize. Yeah, you could understand, though. Well, I soon got to understand.
I did understand, actually, the poems that you read about the clock, etc. I did understand those.
Yes.
I did.
As with Tim Bobbin, when it was so difficult to read it, and people couldn't understand it now.
Yeah.
So you need to be a bit careful when you're writing now in dialect, so that people can understand what
do
you're
writing. Do people still
speak
it around in Lancashire anywhere? Do people still talk to each other using the Lancashire dialect?
They have a Lancashire accent. They don't use...
Oh, an accent more than the dialect much. Yeah. Things have changed, I suppose. Language changes, doesn't it? It evolves as time goes on. Well, another song for us that Brian has chosen. This is Ella Fitzgerald, Every Time We Say Goodbye.
Major to minor, every time we say goodbye.
Okay, that was Ella Fitzgerald, Every Time We Say Goodbye. I think, Brian, you've got another poem that you'd like to read for us and that we're looking forward to hearing, so take it away.
Yes, well, when I was living with my grandparents, I was always fond of poetry, and I can still remember the first poem I learnt at school, which was called I Wish I Liked Rice Pudding. It wasn't a Lancashire dialect poem, but it went something like, I wish I liked rice pudding. I wish I were a twin. I wish someday a real life fairy would just come walking in. I wish when I'm at table my feet would touch the floor. I wish our pipes would burst next winter like they did next door. And that was the first one I can remember ever learning. But the first Lancashire dialect poem I heard was read by Wilfred Pickles. It was on the wireless, and that was called Welcome Bonnie Brid, and that was by Sam Laycock, who was unfortunately a Yorkshireman, but he came to live in Lancashire when he was young, and he lived at Staley Bridge and then moved to Blackpool.
I'm not sure what's a brid?
A brid is a bird.
Right, okay.
But he's calling the baby a brid.
It's about a baby.
It's about a baby, yes. Right. Welcome, Bonnie Brid. That welcome, little Bonnie Brid. But shouldn't have come just when they did. Times are bad. We're short of pobbies for our Joe. But that, of course, thou didn't know, did ta, lad? I've often heard me feyther tell that when I come in wheel mysel, trade was slack. And nay, it's hard work pooing through. But I munna fear thee. If I do, they'll go back. Cheer up, these times are all too soon. I'm bain to bay another spoon, one for thee. And as there's such a pretty face, I'll let thee have 8 yarlies, please, on me knee. God bless thee, love. I'm fain that come. Just try and make this cellar warm. Here's thee nest. To like thee mother to a tea. But there's the feyther's nose, I see. Well, I'm blessed. Come, come, thou needn't look so shy. I'm not blaming thee. Not I. Settle down and take this halfpenny for thysel. There's lots of sugar sticks to sell down in town. I know when first I come to t' leet, or fond of oat at thirst is sweet. Thou'll be the same. But come, there's never told thee, Dad. What is to call thee yet, me lad? What's thee name? Hush, hush. I mustn't cry this way. Me get this supper cinder tea while it's warm. Me mother used to give it me when I was such a lad as thee in her arm. Hush, a babby, hush, a bee. Oh, what a temper. Deary me, how the scrikes. Here's a bit of sugar, silly. How'd thee noise? And then I'll get thee out thee likes. We've nobbut getting corish fair, but ere to this, thou'll get thee share. Never fear. I hope thou'll never want a meal, but allus fill thee belly wheel while thou'rt here. Thee fear there's none be wed so long, and yet the sea's middling throng wi' yaw. Beside the little brother Ted, we've one upstairs, asleep in bed, wi' our Joe. But though we've children, 2 or 3, we'll make a bit of room for thee. Bless thee, lad. That prettiest brid we have in nest, so hold shut closer to me breast, and thee dad.
Well done, Brian. I like that. That was very good. And who is it? Remind us who that poet was again. Who was that that read that?
That was Sam Laycock.
Right, who wrote Sam that. Laycock, right, okay. Yes. And you've read it. Well, that's great. Perhaps we'll introduce a little bit more music now. Mozart's Flute Concerto No. 1. Thank you. That was Mozart's Flute Concerto No. 1. We have a poem now that Brian has written himself. So, Brian, tell us a little bit about your poem and read it to us.
Yeah, this is about the dog, when I had about a dog. It was the first poem that I wrote. It's called Vacant Dog. The art a mardy dog, old lass. He likes a bit of fuss. He likes not better be the master, went two of us. A cowering dame bit fire, and that curled up round me feet. We both sit there together, and know we reap for meat. They're all a fame to see me when I've been away. I think I'd been a fortnight, instead of just one day. With the licking and the barking, I'm pleased the joy to see. The allers has a welcome, that they specially keep for me. There's allers been as gradely, and there's never acts for out. I've known there's been welly clemmed, about moidering and out. We never use the collar, it's sung up there on nail. A nobbert need to whistle, and a whimmy without fail. Has been a pal to me, old lass, that's never let me down. And though I've much an out in bank, I'm richest mon in town. There's no other chap I know on as such a gradely lass, as'll always stand behind him, whatever comes to pass. But I feel my heart grow heavy. I dread to think a day I'm looking at thee, old lass. It can't be far away. When we'll take last walk together, and I'll walk one alone, there'll no one be there to greet me. I'll know I'm on my own. But come and get thee supper, lass. I'm getting thee a treat. I've fetched thee a bone from market. See thee, it's full of meat. We'll speak no more of morbid stuff, but for what we now, thank God. We'll traipse o'er moors a Sunday, for a reek grand dog.
Brian Foster, thank you very much. Well written, well read. Just to finish off a little bit about the modern day Lancashire Authors Association, Brian, can you tell us what happens at a typical meeting when people go along? There's a business, and then people read their own work, I think.
Yes, they can read their own work. Because we have an entertainment hour at the end. We usually have a speaker.
Right, okay.
If he's speaking on Lancashire dialect. There's not a lot of people now that speak, even in the association. We don't have a lot of people who can actually speak the dialect.
No. Might be worth recording. Maybe this will go down in posterity. This program will be saved.
Yes.
We'll have it here in the library for people to, since 100 years from now, people will be listening to you, Brian, reading your poetry, or reading the poetry of Sam Fitton and others.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about when the next meeting is. The next meeting, as I understand, is October 25th. That's a Saturday at St. George's Church Hall in Chorley. And then there's a Lancashire Day, apparently, on the 22nd of November.
That's right, yes.
Which is to celebrate all the Lancashire arts, isn't it?
Yes.
Is that at the same place? Is that at St. George's
St. Church? St. George's Church in Chorley.
Okay. So that'd be great for people to come along and see
yes.
that. And
everybody's welcome.
Yeah, that'd be good for people to come along. Well, all I have to do now is to say thank you, Brian, very much for coming. It's been very edifying, very interesting, and wonderful readings of poetry there and some good information about Lancashire and Lancashire authors. So thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
I think we have time for one last song. This is Ella Fitzgerald, The Very Thought of You.
The very thought of you, and I forget to do the little ordinary things that everyone ought to do. I'm living in a kind of daydream. I'm happy as a king, and foolish though it may seem to me, that's it. everything, the mere idea of you, the longing here for you. You never know how slow the moments go till I'm near to you. I see your face in every flower, your eyes in stars above. It's just the thought of you, the very thought of you, my love. It's just the thought of you, the very thought of you.